live from New York City. It's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. Today, we're going to offer a lot of challenging questions to Judge James Gray. He is running a Libertarian ticket. We're inviting those who are independents, that's the Constitutional Party, the Libertarian Party, the Green Party, and the Justice Party, to come on and share their points of view. What makes them different? If your vote went to them, what would it mean? And also, to me, the more important question is, what are the dangers of another Obama administration or a new Romney GOP win? Judge Jim Gray is the vice presidential candidate running on the Libertarian Party ticket with former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson. Also today, I'm going to take on some social issues. I'd like your feedback, specifically from the perspective of what it means to be a student today, or a parent of a student, and now you're saddled with that student debt. How college loans are impacting everyone who's involved in that cycle. I'll give you specifics on that. For those who continue to see that we need a strong military, there's something wrong in this entire dialogue, because there's a difference between having a military capable of defending our interest versus having an enormous military-industrial complex. Added into that, the security complex, the two working hand in hand. No one's questioning what they do. They're given all the money in the world with no oversight whatsoever. Every single audit that has been done has shown that they have squandered trillions of dollars, actually missing over $1 trillion. What would happen if you ran a bank and you were missing $500 billion? Think that would get some attorney generals? Think that would cause people to pay attention? Yes. But when it's the military-industrial complex, we just turn away from it. It's not important. And what does it mean when we have 18 million hungry children, school teachers being let off, libraries closing, police and firefighters necessary for a society being terminated, and yet we spend more each week, every 7 days, on the military-industrial complex that does us no good at all. It will not increase our ability to defend ourselves than what it would take to rebuild our infrastructure in a year. All of our bridges, to de-ghettoize our cities, to bring a living wage. That's just from one military-industrial complex. So I'm going to go into this. Tom Englehart, Overwrought Empire, the discrediting of the U.S. military power. I'm also going to look today at, if time permits, America's 25 most inspiring companies. What are the ones that really show that we're supportive of their agenda? You'll be surprised. Also, for the first time, we now have a full list of the corporations that say no to Proposition 37. They do not want anything that's genetically engineered labeled. They want you to be able to buy something in total ignorance. You'll be surprised at the opposition we're up against. These people are spending now, I was told, up to $2 million a day, every hour. There are ads. We don't have the capacity to fight back, but we're doing what we can. And at least the people who are seeing what we are presenting, the articles, the documentaries, are paying attention and sharing with others. And we're right down to the wire. As it stands right now, if the vote were taken today, they would win. We, the public, would lose. And we only have a week to turn this around. So you see, we have a lot to share today. So let's go at it. First up, from our science area. I filmed yesterday in four parts in the United States, four different cities. It's a long day, but a lot of good stuff. And one of the people for one of the documentaries was about vaccines. And this is a board-certified obstetrician gynecologist who's also a professor, and who was surprised at how little research any public health official, physician, nurse, public advocate, how little they know about anything involving the actual science of vaccines. And we had this discussion based upon what just came out yesterday from Medscape. Quote, study links staff vaccine to multiple organ failure and death. Here's what the actual scientific article says. A trial of an experimental vaccine against Staphylococcus aureus to prevent bacteremia and wound infections after surgery has produced disappointing results despite eliciting a robust immunological response. In the early stage trial, results presented during the late breaker session at the ID Week meeting showed that in the 4,005 patient placebo-controlled trial, Merck's V710 vaccine, quote, induced antibodies which administered ahead of cardiothoracic surgery, but it did not reduce the incidence of S. aureus bloodstream or deep sternal wound infection after surgery. Even worse, post-operative multi-organ failure and death were more common in the patients who received the V710 vaccine than in those who received a placebo, end quote. Did you hear about this in any media in the United States? Not at all. This is what goes on every day. Now, if you want to stop any form of post-operation infection, it's easy. You give them ozone. They do it in Germany. They do it in Italy. They've done it in Russia with phenomenal results. We won't do it here. Instead, you look for a very expensive vaccine, and you use it, and you end up killing more of the patients, and it doesn't stop the spread. But the failures of all these vaccines, the failures of 57 different AIDS vaccines that had great promise, that hundreds of millions of dollars spent, you never hear about it. But this is what goes on every day. We shouldn't be supporting any more of this vaccine research. Now, for those of you who would like to do something good for yourself that could help stave off cognitive decline, which is very serious in the United States, in fact, think of it this way. We now have 97 million people over the age of 47. That's the largest number of older people in American history. That's because the baby boomers and the senior citizens make up a lot of that. They all have something in common. The vast majority have been eating the common American diet, which is a pro-inflammatory diet. And where you can end up with inflammation in your joints, and it's easy to tell, they become inflamed and sore, or in your musculature system with fibromyalgia, your muscles ache, you can't feel any of the inflammation in the brain. The brain doesn't send out pain signals to tell you that, gee whiz, we have pro-inflammatory cytokines up here. But what does happen is when something has been inflamed for a long period of time, because of alcohol intake or caffeine intake or fried foods, then you start to build up a plaque. This is called an amyloid plaque. And it really is very similar to the plaque that you build up in your arteries, which leads to atherosclerosis and atherosclerosis. When you start understanding what are the consequences, all right, so Gary, what happens if I get some of this plaque? Well, how about you begin to forget your keys? Or what was the name of that book I read? I saw this movie. I got to tell you, I forgot the name of the movie. Someone's last name. What's that person's last name? And then you go outside and you think, did I turn off the stove? Did I lock the door? You forget these things. This is short-term memory loss. Behind that is long-term memory loss. because depending upon how recent the memory was created and what part of the brain is impacted, we could have a long-term memory that would be fine, but not short-term memory. And it also means then we begin to lose cognition, where we may show up someplace, but we're not fully cognizant of being there. All of our senses are not working in harmony the way they once were. You could eat a meal, and then 10 minutes later, you wouldn't know or remember what you ate or how it tasted. How was that food taste? I guess all right. You guess? You don't remember? No. And from there, it gets worse. Now, it depends upon how old you are as to how bad it gets. But it ultimately leads to dementia, and then can lead to Alzheimer's. So this is an area I've spent my entire adult life studying, working with, and finding solutions. The very first solution is stop with the pro-inflammatory items. The second is try to detoxify and chelate out the toxins in the body, which is doable, totally doable. So I'm very optimistic about what people can achieve. I've seen it once they turn their lifestyle around. Now, there are hundreds of items that we can include that can help us, like vitamin C every other hour. That's a big help. And a lot of exotic nutrients. But for this comment, this is something that they just discovered, and it's from the Society of Neuroscience, and they just held a meeting this week in New Orleans. And what they found was, when they gave, in this laboratory experiment that was done through Tufts University, when they gave acai, you know, acai is the fruit from, the little red fruit from South America, that many of you are using. I know that because I know you're using it in some fruit powders. Or you can buy it by itself. You're not going to be able to get the actual acai fruit, but you can, because it goes bad very quickly, but you can get the powders. Quote, acai reverses age-related cognitive decline in this study. Now that's important because this was a major study presented to a whole society of neuroscientists. Quote, any time that we can alter memory performance in older animals, it is pretty significant, end quote. And that was from Dr. Barbara Hale at Tufts University. Quote, we have shown similar results from blueberries and strawberries, but acai has a different structure. Okay, that's good. Now, how about putting blueberries and strawberries and acai together? Once again, the more you do that, that brings together groups of vegetables or groups of fruits or groups of nutrients, like antioxidants, the greater the impact will be. So I'm suggesting that all the people in this audience over the age of 40, please start your day with a smoothie and get organic ingredients wherever possible. For your liquid, you can use any kind of liquid. You could use almond milk, which is very good. Rice milk, soy milk, cashew milk, pistachio milk, hemp milk. You could use grapefruit juice if you wanted, or tomato juice. And then in that, put a pint of your favorite berries. You simply take a little veggie wash, spray it on it, rinse it, and then what I do is I just take some out of a pint after I rinse it, and then I put it in the palm of my hand, and I rub my hands together under a faucet, and that then the agitation, and that's the key. It's like if you just sprayed alcohol and bacteria, only a small percentage would be killed. If you spray bacteria, the alcohol and the bacteria, and then wipe it vigorously with paper towel, then you get it all. It's the same way if you just put toothpaste on your tooth, it's not going to clean anything. You'll still have a buildup of tartar and bacteria. But if you brush, it is the brushing that causes the dislocation of the bacteria on your teeth. Whether you have toothpaste or not, you're still going to get a high percentage of the bacteria just by brushing, just that. Same way with fruit. So you agitate it in your hand, like you're rubbing your hand together, your two hands, but you have the berries in between. And that way it cleans it. Then you throw those berries into a drink. Now, anything else you want, coconut oil, flaxseed oil, very good. Maybe some nuts of some kind. and a source of protein, high-quality protein powder, non-GMO'd, then you've got something really terrific to start your day. And if you have a couple different types of berries, what I do is I always put multiple berries, and then I make enough for 2 days. But let's say you don't want a smoothie. Let's say you want to eat a cereal type of thing. Well, you can use oatmeal. You can use any of the raw granolas because they haven't been cooked. Just heat it enough in dehydrator, which still maintains their enzymes and antioxidants and phytonutrients intact. But it's dry enough that it can store. So you take that, put it in a bowl. Once again, do the same thing, except instead of blending it all, you put in your banana and your fruit, but always berries. And then your oils. And make enough for 2 days. That way you put some plastic over, put it in the fridge. It's going to stay fresh. And then the next day you don't have to do it. It's simple. But the acai is right up there now. And this study shows it. And that's good. But we've known for some time that to improve psychomotor skills, that acai works. Their psychomotor behavior was tested with a battery of age-sensitive tests, and they improved. But we also know that acai improves memory, and that's important. That means it's impacting with the phytonutrients, that part of the brain, including the hippocampus. The polyphenols are what does it. So it's not the antioxidants. You see, we've been wrong, totally wrong, 100% wrong, dead wrong in the dietetic sciences for so long. You keep thinking you're going to eat an orange for its vitamin C. You're not getting enough vitamin C in an orange to do anything other than prevent acute scurvy. You're getting about 30, 35 milligrams. To really be healthy, you're going to be taking 3 to 5,000 milligrams. You'd have to eat a bushel of oranges. But what you do get, you get improvement in the polyphenols. You get the ORAC value. And that's what you want. It is the polyphenolics that make the difference. And that we need a lot more of. Now, one more thing that we could be consuming every day would be tomato juice. Now, why? Because tomato juice has been shown time and again to be anti-inflammatory. But so, too, has tomato sauces, but made the right way, where you start with a low temperature, so you're not destroying enzymes, you're not destroying antioxidants, and you cook it slowly, and you do it in layers. First, you put your liquid in, and then you put a coconut oil in. Always start a tomato sauce with coconut oil. And if you don't have coconut, macadamia oils, okay, either one's fine. And then you let that stew at a very low temperature. You can put your finger in there, not burn your Then you add, your garlic, thinly sliced, so it becomes only translucent. That means it heightens the bioavailability of this sulfur that comes into your body, and that helps kill bacteria and viruses, and is so good for your cells. Then you can put your broccoli in, and asparagus, and vegetables, or whatever you're using. Then you put your beans in, whether it's your cannoli beans or white beans or broad beans or flat beans. You can put those in, and then you allow that all to go at a very low temperature, and it releases all the nutrients. And it's completely healthy, and it's all anti-inflammatory. Every ingredient I just told you just now, including cayenne, you can add red crushed pepper, anti-inflammatory. This is the latest study on tomato juice. This is published in the British Journal of Nutrition. The title of the scientific article is Tomato Juice Consumption Reduces Systemic Inflammation in Overweight and Obese Females by about 7 authors, and I'll quote this. Lycopene-rich tomato juice slashes inflammation. A glass of tomato juice may decrease levels of inflammatory compounds in women who are overweight or obese. 20 days of drinking a glass of tomato juice every day was associated with a, quote, significant reduction in the levels of inflammatory interleukin 8 and tumor necrosis factor alpha compared to women drinking water. The effects were more pronounced in overweight women, quote, the nature of obesity as a chronic inflammatory condition highlights the potential benefit role of nutrients such as lycopene, which have anti-inflammatory properties, end quote. And that was in the peer-reviewed journal. Now listen to what it just said here. The nature of obesity as a chronic inflammatory condition. Remember when I said you cannot be overweight and be healthy? You may look healthy, you may feel all right. Every human being who's overweight is unhealthy, because being overweight means greater stress upon the heart, greater amount of toxins in the fat tissue, especially pesticides, greater hormonal imbalance, greater risk against blood pressure, greater challenge to the kidneys and liver to filter the additional toxins, and your body is inflamed. One more reason to get yourself at the right weight. And finally, echinacea, and we all know what echinacea is, and in tinctures is probably the best way for most people to take it. Echinacea extract may prevent the common cold. This is a major study, and here's what it says. This was published in Evidence-Based Complementary and Alternative Medicine. The article is entitled Safety and Efficacy Profile of Echinacea to Prevent Common Colds. It says that daily consumption of echinacea, a simple herbal remedy, could help to stave off the common cold. And they did this in a major study. It was done in the UK. And it was three daily doses, morning, noon, and afternoon, evening, for 4 months, reduced the likelihood of developing a cold and slashed the duration of the illness by 26%. It also, the herb also was reported to cut the number of recurrent colds suffered by those with weak immune system by 60%. Quote, prophylactic treatment with echinacea over 4 months appeared to be beneficial for many reasons, according to the senior professor at Cardiff University in the UK. So here's the takeaway message. We should be growing medicinal herbs in our own backyard. If you have a commune, if you have a kibbutz, and by the way, a special thank you to our new listeners listening from Israel. There's a growing vegan movement in Israel, people who are very conscious of the importance of respecting life and helping their own body and the natural hygiene principles, and they're listening now due to the efforts of one of our listeners down in Miami, who has been sending them links to the program. They've been listening to the program, and we thank you. And I also asked them, if you have special stories about the challenges of what you've gone through to become a vegan and the results of that journey that you're taking, please let us know, because we'd like to share that with our audience, which is a worldwide audience, because what you've experienced could help someone else in the changes they're making in their life. But I believe that a person who's a healthy vegan is going to be far more conscious about buying organic produce or growing it or growing sprouts. You can grow over 30 different types of sprouts. You can grow over 100 different types of microgreens in a small greenhouse you could put in your backyard. In that small environment, and I will show you, because I'm doing this in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to build from scratch and photograph it, film it, and then share it with you as a public service, how you can get 10 times, that's 1,000% more produce by growing it differently in a greenhouse than you can out in the soil. And you control the temperature, and you control for insects, and you control for weeds, and there's no airborne pollutants going to get in it. Plus, a sprout will grow to edible size, depending upon the sprout, from 4 days to about 8 days for sunflower sprout. A microgreen, from the time it's germinated in the soil to where you're actually able to harvest it, could be as little as 30 days. And then if you decide to allow it to grow more, at any time during its growth cycle, you can harvest it up to 90 days. And then in this experiment I did, I took a 4-foot by 4-foot square, what's called a square foot garden. I dug down 3 feet. I took out all the dirt, and it was mainly rocks. And then I put in a mulch. In effect, I took bales of hay and I put it in the bottom. I then insulated with bales of hay the sides. And behind that, I put in top really good soil, and I had a smooth bed. I then put in seeds close together, far closer together, which is called an intensive way of farming, than what you would normally do. Let's say if you'd normally plant a seed 8 inches apart, 12 inches apart, I was planting in three. At the end of a month, the entire thing was just filled with the same red oak lettuce. I then began to harvest each day one leaf from the most mature plants, but never more than one. And then I would alternate. I might not come back to a plant to harvest again for a week or two. I was able to keep a 4-foot by 4-foot garden filled to capacity with red oak lettuce for 12 months. And then when the winter came, I simply put a lid on it with a bulb, light bulb in it, and it was just a 50-watt light bulb. It was enough that in the middle of winter, you could open it up, even with snow on the ground, and it'd be warm in there. So we have so much technology that we could do, and so much self-sufficient we could do if we only chose to be more self-reliant. And if we had a culinary garden, could you imagine having in a salad some lemon basil, some cinnamon basil, chop up some pears, throw in some lightly roasted pine nuts. You can create such diversity of taste. But what if you grew your own basil? And if you grew it in a greenhouse, you've got it growing 12 months a year. You just start your seeds a month apart. And as long as you're planting your seeds a month apart, you've got the same product growing all year. So you're never out of it. And I remember the movie East of Eden with James Dean. I think it was Massey was the other actor. And there was a scene in there where the farmer, his father, put all of his produce, his lettuce that he'd grown, in a train. And the train got stopped because of an avalanche. And it melted. So all of his lettuce was destroyed and he was bankrupted. And I was thinking, gee whiz, why do we have this notion that we have to harvest everything all at once and then leave the land barren? We shouldn't do that. We should put down a green crop. Well, on my farm, my ranch, I show how you can leave oranges and grapefruit and lemons on a tree for nearly 12 months. And you go out and you pick up only the ones that are dropped. They're called drops. You pick them up off the ground. You got to get them within the first day so that no insect gets into them. And you'll have more than enough to eat. So then the new ones come on. The old ones are still there. And the new ones now are coming on earlier. By the way, historically loquats, which are both grown in China and Italy, they look about like a yellow egg, about the size of an egg, very sweet inside, very expensive. And a tree will yield up to 1,000. That loquat generally starts to bloom in February and produces its fruit in March for about 4 weeks. This year, because of the excessive heat and the change in winter, they're blooming in September. That means they're going to be out of cycle. A lot of fruits in the United States are blooming out of cycle. Now, that means that that whole environment is changed because of global warming. That will end up killing the plants. So another thing that's not being talked about. I'm Gary Nall. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Cowboys and girls.
I remember when I used to play shooter. Thank you.
all of you all over the world. I'm Gary Knoll, broadcasting through our studios in New York City. We're going now to go out to Orange County, California, and say hello to Judge James Jim Gray. He is the vice presidential candidate running on the Libertarian Party ticket with former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson. Nice to have you with us today.
Oh, Gary, it's always good to be with good people, and you have a lot of insights, and it's nice to talk with you. And I have a defect as a candidate. I actually tell the truth, so ask me anything, and I'll give you my honest answer.
I'm going to do two things, but I'm also doing the same thing with all the other, at least the three other presidential candidates who are independent. I'm going to ask you to give me initially a yes or no answer for this audience. We have almost 6,000 brand new listeners a day, 7 days a week to this program. And they're young, college-educated women listening to the program at night. They haven't heard our previous discussions. So I would like that to happen. Then I'm going to ask you one question that you can take your time and answer. But you've got to be patient and wait to the last till the yes and no's are over, so we know where we stand. And I'm doing this because it's going to lead up to the last question that you can take your time and expand on as much you want, all right?
All right, although sometimes it's hard to give a yes or no answer without explaining, but I'll do my best.
I understand, but this audience is extremely intelligent, and they're aware of all these. They will get the message, and you can give us a better explanation if you feel that something is not completely understood in yes or no at the end, all right? But for now, I just need this because this is never done in any of these so-called objective debates. Would you close down the Federal Reserve and give the power to print money at no interest to the Treasury?
Yes, as quickly as possible.
Would you go through every, have an audit, an independent, nonpartisan audit of every federal agency to bring that agency to what is necessary to serve the American public and to eliminate all bloat, duplicity, waste?
Absolutely, yes, using generally accepted accounting principles, just like we do with our public companies. The answer is absolutely yes.
Would you go into agencies that have been corrupted, and this is my own opinion, such as the Food and Drug Administration, USDA, and the Nuclear Regulatory Agency that are virtually controlled by special interest and close them down and reorganize and open them again to serve the public interest with completely independent public service experts?
Oh, you're asking softball questions to me, Gary. The answer is absolutely yes. Paramount importance. The answer is yes.
Would you stop giving any corporate bailouts to every major corporation in the United States? No more bailouts of banks, too big to fail, let them fail and go through structured bankruptcy? Would you stop giving quantitative easing into the trillions of dollars or even a dollar to any more of these corporations?
Heaven's sakes, yes. We don't believe in crony capitalism. We're not going to pay anybody not to grow corn. You know, the answer is yes.
Would you close down all of the unnecessary military installations around the world, which we estimate to be about 90%?
The answer is yes. We have somewhere between 900 and 1,000 military bases in foreign countries. If they're needed for our security, we'll keep them and reinforce them. If they're not needed, we will close them down. Easily 80% of them will be closed promptly.
Would you stop the imperial overdrive of us getting into everyone else's business around the world and get out of other people's democracies?
Heaven's sakes, yes. It's none of our business how other countries run themselves.
Would you get us out of Afghanistan completely and get us out of Iraq completely, including taking the so-called not just boots on the ground, but all of the private mercenaries working for private corporations, all of which the American taxpayer is paying, to continue to be a presence and a political interference in those people's democracies?
Gary, categorically, yes. We'll do it immediately.
Would you rescind the first day you're in office, the Patriot Act, the Homeland Security Act, and all of these draconian, fascist-based acts and executive orders, including the National Defense Appropriation Act?
we will do everything we can to repeal the NDAA, the Patriot Act, these direct assaults on our civil liberties? The answer is yes. We will have no drones flying over our country, surveilling our people, not attached to a judicial warrant. The soul of our country is our freedoms and liberties. It's under attack by our very own government. The answer is yes.
Would you go in and investigate those who have committed crimes against the world or population who are now have protection because of the political dynamics and hold them accountable as anyone else would be held accountable if they committed a crime against humanity?
Well, the answer is yes. I'd need more information as to who it is you're talking about, but we can talk about that later. The answer is yes. We believe in accountability at all levels of society.
Good. Okay, so if a person commits a crime, they're going to be held accountable even if that crime was 2003 or any other time.
Well, again, it depends what crime. We have a statute of limitations, but
right.
We certainly believe in responsibility at all levels of society. The answer is yes.
Okay. Those are my essential questions. There are many other that I have, but I don't want to take any more time. I think you've given us enough to understand something about who you are. Now, here's the larger question. Right now, the corporate Democrats and corporate Republicans are looking at this as a two-person race. I am not advocating for any given candidate. I'm asking people to at least think of the third-party candidates as a real option. What you just said is exactly opposite of what either Obama or Romney on every single point has agreed to. They would have been no on every single question that I stated. What are the dangers of another Obama administration or a new Romney GOP win?
Well, the dangers are paramount. You know, Governor Gary Johnson's the most qualified person to be president of the United States that I know of, not only because of what he talks about, but because what he did in his governor of New Mexico. And he left the state with a $1 billion surplus, actually, as he would say it modestly, didn't create private sector jobs, but because he got the government more streamlined, the regulations more understandable, user-friendly, that resulted in more creation of private sector jobs per capita than any other state in the country. And he actually stood up for liberty. You know, he understands the truth, which is that we simply can't have the government intruding into our private, our special lives. But today, we're living in fear. The federal government is becoming a police state, and we are letting it happen. So, and then the biggest security threat to our country, Gary, as you know, is a bad failing economy. That's what we need to address, because today, for every dollar the federal government spends, we're borrowing 43 cents. Under the Republicans and Democrats, we haven't even had a budget in the last 3 years. Unconscionable, outrageous, damaging to us. Our children, I'm at Stanford University yesterday, I'll be at various schools again today in the San Francisco area. You tell them, you look them in the eye and say, I'm sorry, my generation has blown this. We're so financially irresponsible. You are bankrupt. We've got to reduce this federal spending. We will do it. Paul Ryan's supposedly radical budget won't even balance the budget for 28 years, Gary. We will submit a balanced budget to Congress now and explain why, because we will have that audit. I talk about this all the time, of the entire federal government, certainly including the Pentagon, closing down these military bases that are unnecessary. We can't afford it. That the Roman Empire was never conquered from without. They collapsed from within because they overextended. Guess where we are today? Under either the Democrats or Republicans, we're putting our military in harm's way and in these conflicts all around the world. I spoke yesterday to a Marine who was actually proudly wearing a ribbon for a Purple Heart and a Bronze Star. He looked at me and said, please represent us. Give the voice to the military and don't keep putting us into these places like Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, Sudan, Yemen, where they're not security threats to the United States. Please give us our voice. And I looked him in the eye and said, I vow this to you. So does Governor Gary Johnson. We simply are harming our country. And you can reelect Romney, you can reelect Obama. You're going to continue down this path. We need to have financial responsibility. We need to have social tolerance. Governor Gary Johnson, we libertarians are in the mainstream of American political thought. Vote for us. Get us at least 5% nationwide. We'll be entitled to federal matching funds. It will make us be viable so that at least we can get our message out there to the world. We should have been a part of these presidential debates. We're on the ballots of 48 states plus the District of Columbia. Had we been in these debates, we would have been seen as viable. I'm convinced to my dying day, Gary, that we would have won this election because we have what the people of the United States want and crave, if only because we'll put in a coalition government. We'll put in a government, of course, in our administration of libertarians and independents, but also Republicans and Democrats, assuming they agree with our approach of financial responsibility and social tolerance. And then when we have this mindless, selfish politics going on in Washington today, a bipolar politics, as I call it, we'll have people in their parties, Republicans, Democrats. Go talk to your colleagues. Get them on board. This is a good idea. We'll give credit to anybody that has a good idea. We really can do this. We really need your support.
All right, Judge Gray, my final question. I'm going to need a short answer on this, please. I believe that many people, I know Gerald Salante and others, Max Kaiser, give a lot of support for most of the libertarian principles. The Achilles heel that many people, myself included, see in the libertarian position is where there has not been a strong advocacy to repeal the voting, in effect, making our elections so open to money through Citizens United and repealing Citizens United. Because then all you have is you have large corporations or individuals or groups of people pulling their money who buy a candidate, and with that they buy access. You also have not addressed what you would do about all the lobbyists or Wall Street making money off money and running up enormous risk factor like credit default swaps and derivatives, and those right now are at $600 trillion. So what are you going to do that? And also, what would you do for those people who have asked for a single-payer health insurance? And I haven't heard Ron Paul or others say that they would advocate. What are they going to do for the 18 million hungry children who are victims of our system but not beneficiaries? And I just spoke with a person today who I'm sending off a check to Titusville, Florida, to a place where there are 16,000 homeless vets. So when I watch Biden tell me, oh, yeah, we take care of our vets over there, and when they come home, well, there's a million homeless vets, and they're being completely neglected. I'm out there. I did an award-winning documentary on them just 3 months ago. So could you address that part of, do you bring any humanistic or spiritual agenda also to temper what many had considered the excessive indifference of those who suffer to the libertarian concept?
Gary, I wish we had an hour and a half to respond to this. The answer is yes, we are with you on these things. I'll talk in reverse order to the degree I can remember. I was in the Peace Corps. I'll be the first Peace Corps volunteer to be elected to national office, and I'm proud of that. I care about people. Governor Johnson cares about people. In Orange County, Los Angeles County, literally 40% of the homeless people are veterans. It is a national disgrace. We will take care of our veterans. We owe it to them, not only morally, but legally we will do that. With regard to the health care system, you know, we feel that going on to Obamacare, and Romney's the architect of Obamacare, it's basically having the Department of Motor Vehicles run our health care system. It doesn't work. We will bring competition back. And for those people that can take care of themselves, we'll let them do that and get the government out of their lives. But I was on a mental health calendar as a judge for quite a while, and I've seen there are people in our world that cannot take care of themselves, maybe fewer than we think, but they're there, and we will have a safety net for them. Just like when I was in the Navy, we'll have a military, I had a military clinic to go to. My son was born at Guam Naval Hospital. We will have government clinics to take care of people that cannot take care of themselves, giving them first-class medical care, spending money on doctors, medicines, and nurses instead of bureaucracy, administration, and fraud. To go back to the Citizens United, it is an atrocity. We will not have any corporations, any non-human people, spending money for any political organizations whatsoever. The corporation, certainly for tax purposes, should be as treated as a person, but you can't vote. They can't run for office. They're not a human being. and they should get the unanimous agreement of all of their shareholders before they spend any money on political races whatsoever. And if the people want to do that, terrific. Let them spend their own money. No corporations, no unions, no non-human entities spend any money whatsoever into our politics. It's simply a disgrace, and we will do everything we can to remove that. There was, must have been other questions in there, too.
Well, you've hit all the important ones. What, Judge Gray, thank you very much for coming on and sharing your insights, at least this audience that may not have known what you represented, what your points of view were, how you differ from the Democrat and Republicans, could only imagine what would have happened had you had a chance to explain why we should not be all over the world and interfering in people's politics. And I think you've given us a lot to consider. All the best to you, and all the best to former Governor Gary Johnson on the Libertarian ticket. Do you have a website you'd like to
give? Thank you, Gary. Appreciate the opportunity. Go to GaryJohnson2012.com. It's exciting. You'll like what you see. He's the guy, and we're in there for you. So thanks, Gary. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon. Good luck to us all.
Thank you. And I will be having the other candidates on, and I'll be asking them the same questions. And then they tell us yes or no. It's when they get into all the spin and that we get confused and we don't really understand. But I think this is the best way of handling it. Then we can make a decision. If any of them meet your needs, fine. I'm Gary Knoll. Time for our talk back segment of our program, your opportunity to call in and share your points of view. We'd like to say hello to all of our audience on WPFW in Washington, D.C., the whole area there, listening clear out in West Virginia and the Panhandle and down in Virginia and up in the Maryland area. While you're calling in at 888-874-4888, I'll share a few other thoughts with you. These are the corporations that a study found were most respected, all right? So if you want to know why a lot of people are in trouble today, here's why. Number one, and this is in descending order, the most respected corporation, Apple, Walmart, Target, Google, Microsoft, Amazon, Chick-fil-A, Starbucks, McDonald's, Coca-Cola, Macy's, Costco, Nike, Disney, Kohl's, Ford, Home Depot, Tom's Shoes, JCPenney, Whole Foods, Best Buy, Johnson & Johnson, Goodwill, Trader Joe's, and Pepsi-Cola. Top 25. Well, what's the likelihood of these people supporting an organic movement, supporting any of the humanistic causes? Because none of those corporations do. Here's who wants no labeling in California or anywhere else. Here are the people, but this is only corporations that are talking about this in California. They're voting no. We don't want any labeling. We're voting yes. In agriculture, California Farm Bureau Federation, American Farm Bureau Federation, Western Growers Association, Agricultural Council of California, Agricultural Retailer Association, Almond Haulers and Processors, the Amador County Farm Bureau, American Agri-Women, American Feed Industry, American Meat Institute, American Pistachio Growers, American Seed Trade, American Soybean Association, American Sugar Beet Growers, Butte County Farm Bureau, California Association of Wheat Growers, California Agricultural Aircraft Association, they're the sprayers, the pesticides, California Bean Shippers, California Bean Growers, California Canned Peaches, California Cattlemen Association, California Cotton Ginners and Growers, California Grain and Feed, California Poultry, California Seed, California Tomato, California Women for Agriculture, Corn Refiner Association, there's your high fructose corn syrup, Crop Life America, Fresno County Farm Bureau, Imperial County Farm Bureau, Independent Professional Seed Association, Kings County Farm, Monterey County, and then here are, and it goes on, it's pages long, then ethnic groups, California State Conference of the NAACP, that's surprising, Black American Political Association of California, Mexican American Political Association of San Francisco, Coalition United for Families, Council for Spanish-Speaking Groups, Filipino Progress, Los Angeles NAACP, Gardenia NAACP, Richmond NAACP, Riverside NAACP, San Jose Silicon Valley NAACP, Everville NAACP, Vallejo NAACP. They don't want you to know that your food is genetically engineered. Whoa. Are they all on the wrong side of history and the wrong side of science and the wrong side of everything on this issue? Ethnic chambers and businesses, Southern California Black Chamber of Commerce, Greater Los Angeles African American Chamber of Commerce, United States Latino American Chamber of Commerce, State of California Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, all want you to vote no. We don't want labeling of genetically engineered food. Isn't it interesting when you get down to the grassroots who's really for and against something and why? Ethnic Chambers of Commerce continued. San Jose County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Central Valley Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Nicaraguan American Chamber of Congress for Northern California, Central California Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Antelope Valley Black Chamber of Commerce, Chinese Chamber of Commerce, Los Angeles, Fresno Area Hispanic Chamber of Congress, Greater Riverside Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Guatemalan American Chamber of Commerce, Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Latino American and Caribbean Business and Chamber of Commerce, Latino Engineers, Architects, and Developers Society, Madera Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Merced County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Kern County Black Chamber of Commerce, Riverside County Black Chamber of Commerce, Salvadoran American Chamber of Commerce, Slavic American Chamber of Commerce, Solano County Black Chamber of Commerce, South Bay Latino Chamber of Commerce, Vietnamese American Chamber of Commerce, all say no. We do not want any of our food labeled if it has genetically engineered material. That's their right, but they are wrong. In labor groups, the California Legislative Conference of Plumbing, Heating, and Piping Industry, California Chapters of the National Electrical Contract Association, Northern California Carpenters Regional Council, from Civil Justice, California Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse and Civil Justice Association of California. Then all the major grocery associations are against it. I won't even go through the names. They're just all against it. The California Council of Environmental and Economic Balance, the Consumers Health Products Association, the American Council on Science and Health. Well, that shouldn't surprise anyone. Council of Biotechnology Industry, the Biotechnology Industry Organization. There's taxpayers groups, there's business groups, the California Small Business Association, the California Chamber of Commerce, California Retailer Association, California Manufacturer Technology Association. And then there's the, there's three more pages of nothing but the Pet Food Institute, Research Chefs Association, the Snack Food Association. They're all against labeling. So, and there's hundreds of them. And we are just lay people or scientists or concerned citizens. They have unlimited amounts of money. We do not. And yet, in this moment, it comes down to who can buy the ads and who can get the word out. That's unfortunate. Let's say hello to Joe from Jersey. Hi, Joe. Your turn.
Yes, I'm actually from Princeton, New Jersey, and I just want to, you know, I listen to your show all the time, and it was really good to hear about the third-party thing. And, you know, here in Princeton, we have this big university that is basically a corporation with a $17 billion endowment, and we have day workers on the side of the road with, you know, no health insurance and absolutely nothing. And they just have become a developer in our town. So there's a few of us have decided that we need a third party also, and there's other issues here. And I was just wondering if you know, I go to your website a lot just to see, you know, read the things. I was wondering if that you would consider, you know, having each state, you know, voice on people, locals that are trying to have a third party, so we can have a dialogue with other groups from other states, because I feel like it's going to be a grassroots. Each town, each state's going to start electing more progressive, you know, officials, and it's going to work up to where we have a larger group together.
Joe, we're out of time for the show, but that's a very good idea. And as soon as I get off the road, because I'm helping every day with the people who vote yes, they want the food labeled, and why, and all the science is on our side, the truth's on our side. Their whole campaign is a lie. And But when I get back, I will look into that, because we certainly are giving a form to all third-party candidates. We're giving a form for insight and information for people to take back control over what has become an absolutely corrupt system of governance in our society. If you've listened to my show, you know I believe we are a fascist state and a police state within the fascist state. And that doesn't help anyone. We're out of time, and I want to say thank you for all of our local stations. For those of you who are listening on PFW in Washington, BAI in New York, KPFK in Los Angeles, we thank you. Also, for those who want to continue listening for the next 5 minutes over the Internet or by a telephone number, let me give you that telephone number, because people call it 832-280-0066. So thank you, Joe. Good input. I appreciate it. Now let us continue on. You still have an opportunity to call in now and share your points of view. Happy to hear from you. This is our Talk Back segment. But let's also go over and say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. Phenomenal show, as always. I have an email here from someone that, you know, it's nice to get these emails. He said, Gary, you're a breath of fresh air, an authentic contribution to the world's media, particularly in the areas of politics, economy, and health. And this is from Brian from Florida. And he said, thank you for all the sacrifices you've made, for the team of people around you that have created, that have provided gainful employment for, the countless projects and endeavors you've taken on that have contributed to people around the world, as well as our planet, which all life is sustained by. You're a true inspiration and a living example of the human potential. Keep up the great work.
Well, that's very kind of him. Thank you.
Yes.
Do you have any that are questions that we can address?
I do. I have one. I have a gentleman here who was a competitive runner in the 80s, and he quit in 1995, and he couldn't quite get back into it. He remembers that he ran the Jersey Shore Marathon, and he said at the 3-hour mark, a group of people ran past him, and it was actually Your Natural Living Running and Walking Club. And he tried to pace with you, and he did. And he saw how easy it was that, you know, when you ran in a group, it was almost like reinforcing one another while you were running. And he never forgot that. And he also saw you win the World Outdoor Championships record in the 1500 meter. So his question to you is this. How can I get back into competitive racing since I've been out of it for about 15 years? And he also asked, how is it that you never stop racing and you still keep breaking records? He asked, how many years has it been since you lost a race?
I don't know. I would guess maybe 30, 32 years since I've lost a race. I've won about 600 races. But that's not important. His main question is, how can he who's been out of athletics get back in? And he's actually lucky, because during that time when he was out, his body had a chance to heal and rejuvenate from any stress and strain that was put on it when he was racing competitively. And the key is to do it if you can, not always can you, but get someone who can train with you at your pace, and ideally someone who is a little stronger, a little faster, so that you don't get lazy, so that person can always push the pace. And that's why with our running and walking club, we're always having our rabbits, the people who are faster, take the pace out so that people don't get lazy. And therefore you have to, you know, get out of your comfort zone and change your pace in order to keep up. But if he does it gradually, and if he does it holistically, meaning if he cleanses and detoxes, getting rid of the heavy metals, rejuvenating the tissue, and then do a gradual working up to where he's not in full stride in his workouts for about 3 months, give the body a chance to acclimate to each new. Start off at 9 minutes a mile, then go to 8:45 and 8:30 and 8:15 over a period of time, because the muscles in the body remember. They remember the workout. They remember how it felt, and they adapted to it. So in effect, what you're doing, you're creating a memory in the cells of the body so that when you go to do your workout, your body's able to do it. That's why, for example, we take our time. We work 6 months to get ready for the New York Marathon. And when everyone else is running around the park 20 miles, we're at 12 miles. You're going to find them burned out, and they've reached their peak by August. 3 months before the marathon, they peaked. Now they're going to go in the marathon on the downside of a peak because they were impatient. So you have to hold yourself back so that you reach your peak at the time when you're doing your races. And then you have to give your body a chance to recover. But don't stop altogether. The key to how I continue to race and stay competitive is I never get out of shape. But I never train at the world gain level that I do every 2 years, where it's 5 hours a day of training. Otherwise, you can go out and do a 3 mile workout. 3 miles of row work is enough to keep any human being in ideal shape. And then 5 days a week of an hour of resistance exercise, so your whole musculature system, your strength training, it means your body fat, if a woman's around 10%, a man around 7%, so you're in ideal shape. So if you want to get ready for a race, you just up your mileage, intensify the workout, and you're ready. But we go from doing a whole season, like football players, basketball, soccer, tennis, they just stop. They don't do anything. They go out and get drunk and take cocaine or something else stupid, and then wonder why, gee whiz, why'd you have such a short career? And they're cross-dressing and walking across the street. So, strange things happen to these athletes when they get too many people saying yes around them. So the key is stay in shape all the time, but pace yourself, bringing it up and then bringing it down. Hope that answers the question. We're out of time. I want to thank everyone for listening.